Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse number 3. Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Kasyad yatati siddhaye.
Kasyad yatati siddhaye.
Yatatam api siddhanam.
Yatatam api siddhanam.
Kasyad mam veti tatvata.
Kasyad mam veti tatvata.
Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Manushyanam sahasreshu.
Kasyad yatati siddhaye.
Kasyad yatati siddhaye.
Yatatam api siddhanam.
Yatatam api siddhanam.
Kasyin mam veti tatvata.
Kasyin mam veti tatvata.
Who have achieved perfection, hardly anyone knows me in truth. Purport. There are various grades of men, and out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self, what is the body, and what is the absolute truth. Generally, mankind is simply engaged in the animal propensities, namely, sleeping, defending, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. And hardly anyone is interested in transcendental knowledge. The first six chapters of the Gita are meant for those who are interested in transcendental knowledge, in understanding the self, the super self, and the process of realization by jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and discrimination of the self from matter. However, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahman realization, for this is easier than understanding Krishna. Krishna is the supreme person, but at the same time, he is beyond the knowledge of Brahman and Paramatma. The yogis and the jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. Although the greatest of the impersonalists, Sripad Shankara Acharya, has admitted in his Gita commentary that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, his followers do not accept Krishna as such, for it is very difficult to know Krishna, even though one has transcendental realization of impersonal Brahman. Of course, there's hardly anyone left in the world who doesn't know something about Krishna. At least everyone in India always knew about Krishna. Krishna is so famous. And thanks to the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement by Srila Prabhupada, there's hardly a country in the world where almost everybody doesn't know, hasn't heard of Krishna, doesn't have some idea about who he is. But nobody knows Krishna completely. Therefore, it's stated, Yato vacho nivartante aprabhya manasasaha. The absolute truth cannot be understood by the mind and cannot be described in words. Or literally, words fail to even come close to him. Words give up before they can describe the absolute truth. And he cannot be achieved by the mind. He cannot be reached by the mind. Does that mean that Krishna cannot be known at all? Somehow we've been given knowledge. We have some idea of Krishna. Is it all false? Is there some real absolute truth beyond Krishna that we can't know? Is that what the Vedas are saying? No, not actually. The point is, as explained by the Vaishnavacharyas, first of all, materialists cannot know him. And the words of materialists, of ordinary people, cannot describe God. As Prabhupada says here, only Krishna can only be known by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Persons who are in material consciousness cannot know Krishna, and they cannot describe him. But also, the other meaning, proper meaning, is that nobody knows Krishna completely. Even Krishna himself doesn't know himself completely, because he's always expanding. He has things about himself that he is not even himself aware of. That is the confidential purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Krishna appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's assuming that form. He wanted to understand what normally he doesn't know. Especially Krishna's most intimate devotees, especially Srimati Radharani, experiences an ecstasy in being the lover of Krishna, in having Krishna as the object of love, that Krishna himself doesn't experience the ecstasy of being the devotee who is relishing Krishna's personality and enjoying loving relationship with him. The recipient of that love, Krishna, doesn't himself know what the devotee is experiencing. And therefore he made his appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to relish, in order to experience what it means to be the devotee, to be on the devotee side of the relationship. So even God, even Krishna, doesn't know everything about himself. So that means there are different degrees of Krishna consciousness. There's no limit to it. There's no end to how much one can increase in Krishna conscious realization. So in this verse, Krishna is describing the basic division of realization among different classes of people in this world. Most people are not interested in any idea of the absolute truth. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. That means you're lucky if you can find one man out of 1,000 who has any interest in making an effort to find some higher truth. He's satisfied with what he has. Make some money, enjoy life, live from day to day for sense gratification. Or maybe you have some altruistic goal. You'd like to, you know, be responsible maintainer of your family, or do some good for your community, or for your nation, or for the human race. You may have some higher idea, but rare is it to find a man, any person, man, woman, or child, who has any interest in any reality beyond what they can see in front of their face. Siddhaye. So people have different ideas of what siddhi is, perfection. Everybody wants some sort of perfection. I want to get a perfect grade on my test. You know, that's my perfection, is to score high on the exam, or to beat out my competition in business, or whatever. We have our ideas of perfection. There is the holy place Kolur in North Karnataka district. There is the deity of Mukamba Devi. What is her name? Yeah, Mukambika. Yeah, she killed the demon Mukamba. This is called Siddhistan. People go there to achieve perfection, but especially artists musicians and other artists go there to achieve their idea of what perfection is. And there is, in the temple grounds, not a very big temple, but very popular, especially among people from Kerala. They come to Kollur. And there's one mandap there, stage, city mandap. If you come there and perform your music or your dance in front of Mukambika Devi, then you'll achieve perfection in your art. That's your perfection. You'll become a perfect performer. So it's siddhi. Their idea is there of siddhi, but it's a material concept of perfection. What Krishna is talking about here is not that out of many thousands of persons, only one is striving for excellence. We have this, we have some institutes of excellence now. It's a popular idea in India. Yeah. It's just a word. It's just, you know, fancy words. Real siddhi, excellence, perfection, as Krishna is talking about here, means an ideal of spiritual life, some life beyond what we can achieve in this one lifetime. You know, siddhi implies that we have an understanding that we don't just live in this one body. It used to be, it was the common assumption among anybody born in India, it was understanding that the soul is eternal, that you know, you don't only live just once. Even the Buddhists, the Jains, all the religions in India, all the different schools of thought, accepted as a common assumption that the soul is eternal, and when the body dies, he passes on, he takes another body. The idea of reincarnation was assumed by everybody. Everybody except the few gross materialists like the followers of Charvaka Muni. He established the philosophy known as Lokayatika, materialism. Not much is known of what he wrote. It's not preserved, but one shloka is there that is ascribed to Charvaka Muni. Vinam kritva gritam pibet yava jivet sukam jivet basmi bhuta. You know this? You know what this means? Yeah. Beg, borrow, or steal, but get ghee. Vinam kritva. Even if you go into debt, get some ghee. Yava jivet sukam jivet. As long as you're alive, live happily. Basmi bhutasya dehasya kim punar agamo bhavet. When your body is burnt to ashes, how is it going to come back again? Finished. So when you're dead, you're finished. But he says, get ghee. He doesn't say, you know, go to McDonald's. Yeah, he can't even conceive of such a level of materialism. Yeah, this is cultured, civilized materialism. You know, the worst they can think of is stuffing yourself with ghee. But he's teaching. You only live once. I saw on the billboard boarding about, you know, advertisement. You only live once, therefore, you know, buy this television set or something.
Get
a nice house, whatever it is. How could they, in India, how could they say such a thing? You know, previously, no one would dare say that. You only live once. You'd be laughed at if you said such a thing. When Krishna speaks in the beginning of the Gita, Dehi nosmin yata dehe, or the verse before it, Natvevaham jatu nasam, never was there a time when I wasn't living, when I wasn't alive, or you, or anybody on this battlefield. He's just making, you know, his introduction. Of course, everybody knows that already, supposedly. And, you know, for the audience of the Gita, it's assumed everybody knows the soul is eternal. He's just stating it again, in case there's someone who's not familiar with the fact. But in the modern world, in the Western world especially, the big philosophers are confused over the matter. You know, they're wondering maybe you know, reincarnation is a feasible idea, or maybe it isn't. Whereas in the culture that is still struggling to survive in India, it's an assumption that the soul is eternal. But still, people are so bewildered by the material energy that only one out of many men, it says Sahasreshu, it doesn't give an exact number, it's not a statistical count. Anyone is who is at all interested in spiritual life, that depends on what sample of population, from what culture, what time you're talking about. The more we progress in Kali Yuga, the more our world consumer economy takes over, and the culture and cultures, all traditional cultures all over the world, become more and more obliterated. The more that rare it will be to find anybody who's at all interested in spiritual life, in life beyond death. But Krishna says 5,000 years ago that out of thousands you can even hardly find one. And then among those thousands of rare souls, one out of a thousand, who have an interest in some version of spiritual life, kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands of, collect all the people who are at all interested in spiritual life, and only one or a few of those will actually know Krishna in truth. And even knowing Krishna can be measured in different degrees. We can know a little bit about Krishna. We can have some concept that he's Parameshvara, but not understand that he expects us to surrender to him. Krishna is Parameshvara, and still we can live like materialists. Yeah. We can consider Krishna our order carrier, and he's just there to facilitate our life of sense gratification. And we'd have no idea that we're really meant to leave this material world and go back to Krishna's eternal kingdom. So people have an idea of Krishna as God, but they don't understand that what he expects us is what he told Arjuna at the end of the Gita. Sarva dharmam parityaja. Give up all your materialistic ideas of what you think is a spiritual life, a life of piety, and make a real commitment to surrender to me. So it's very rare to find someone who understands that a life of Krishna consciousness means a radical commitment to aiming at leaving this world. As Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, son of Brahma, wrote in his Dharma Shastra, the Manu Smriti, Pravrittir esha bhutanam Nivritis tu maha pala. What I'm describing in my Manusmriti, in this Dharma Shastra, is how people can live happily and peacefully and obey the laws of God while enjoying life in this material world. This is pravrittir. This is the nature, the tendency, the active tendency of everyone in this world is to try to be happy and successful. Hare Krishna. In this world, pravrittir esha bhutanam, this is the way of that everybody is. Nivrittis tu mahapala, but if someone can give up entanglement in this world and work toward liberation, then his life will actually be successful in the fullest sense. So it's especially those who get the mercy of the Vaishnava Acharyas. and take proper initiation in one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. And learn the actual message of Bhagavad Gita from the Parampara. They can enter into the serious path of cultivating Krishna consciousness. As we were discussing the other days, we have to have factual knowledge, tattva jnana. We have to have a clear idea what the position of God is, and what our position as servants of God is, and what the real business of our life, namely devotional service, is. That is what Krishna says here. Kaschin mam veti tattvataha. What distinguishes a mere sentimentalist, a man with an idea about religion, and an actually Krishna conscious devotee, is that the advancing devotee has scientific knowledge of Krishna. Just like someone may know a little bit about, you know, medical practice, you know, a housewife may have some cures she knows about, you know, or the she knows some herbs she can pick in the garden, but she doesn't have scientific knowledge. A well-trained physician, from his medical education, he gets scientific knowledge how to cure diseases. Like that, a properly initiated Vaishnava, one who is initiated from the Vaishnava Sampradaya and has been properly trained up in the standard understanding of Krishna's teachings, he has scientific knowledge of Krishna. Basic things. If we understand what Krishna speaks in the Gita, that is adequate. What he says about himself and about the proper position of his devotee and devotional service to him, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, that is adequate, sufficient tattva jnana to enter into pure devotional service. Then if we want to know more, then we can study Srimad Bhagavatam. But the minimum knowledge we should have is what Krishna teaches in the Gita. Then we can enter properly sadhana bhakti. We can practice the cultivation of pure devotional service to Krishna under the direction of Vaishnava spiritual master. And we make progress along that path, and there are also different levels of advancement, different degrees of understanding of Krishna. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti vidkarna rasayana kata tadjoshanad ashwapavargavartmani shraddha ratir bhaktiranukramishyati. By associating with saintly devotees, one gets the opportunity to hear Krishna Katha, to hear words spoken by Krishna as in the Bhagavad Gita, and description of Krishna and Krishna's devotees as we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido. And stop it. And these topics of, by and about Krishna have therapeutic potency. Just like there is a class of Ayurvedic medicine known as rasayanam. We can translate it as tonic. Specific medicine that invigorates, gives strength to the body. But usually this rasayanam is specific. There are different rasayanams for different organs, different parts of the body. Some for the brain, the Brahmi rasayana. Some for other purposes, for other parts of the body, other functions. This Krishna Katha rasayana that Lord Kapila Dev is describing is specific tonic for two organs, Rit Karna, the heart and the ear. Maybe an unusual combination, but it's the natural method of application of this medicine. Medicines are commonly taken through the mouth, orally, This medicine is through the ear. You hear Krishna Katha. And it first has its therapeutic beneficial effect on the ear. It is very attractive to hear. It is pleasing. And then it goes to the heart. Some medicines have the power to bypass the brain. You know, so this medicine, even if the brain is not attentive or not cooperating, the sound of Krishna Katha, the message of Krishna Katha, can go directly to the heart. The heart is where the soul is residing. So it purifies the heart. As Krishna also says, or not Krishna, Suta Goswami said in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvata Sokata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Vidyantak Stohiya Badrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. Krishna is sitting in everybody's heart, but he's not reciprocating the same way with everybody, because not everybody is showing him much attention. He's in our heart, but we're ignoring him. It's like having a guest in your house and you're not feeding him, you're not giving any attention to him. That means you want to get rid of him. You know, Prabhupada said, if you want to get rid of a guest, don't feed him. So we're treating Krishna like that. We're completely ignoring him, giving him nothing. That's how we treat a guest in our heart. But Krishna, if he notices Shrinvata Sokata, that his host, the owner of the heart that he's sitting in, is making some attempt to simply hear about him, then he's very pleased. Oh, he's giving me a little attention, finally. And then Krishna reciprocates. Okay, not only do we not feed Krishna, we've never made any offering to him, but he's sitting in our heart, and we're keeping that heart as a very dirty place. We've never even made an attempt to clean up the room where our guest is staying. No, we're letting our heart be so dirty, full of lust, envy, and greed. And Krishna is trying to sit there as our guest. So he hears that we're trying to hear about him. So he's pleased with that. That we're sitting and making an attempt to hear Krishna Katha. At least we're sitting there. You know, that Krishna appreciates. So what does he do? Okay, I'll clean up the room myself. So Krishna, within our heart, starts to purify us from within. He does the job. We can't make any effort to purify ourselves, to rectify our own lives. So Krishna, from inside, from the heart where he's sitting, he begins the work of purifying us. Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, cleaning of the dust on the mirror of the heart. Krishna himself does that. When we make an attempt to hear about him, when we chant his names, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam is what the effect of chanting Krishna's names, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It cleanses the mirror, the dust on the mirror of the heart. The heart naturally can reflect the image of God. We can see Krishna. But the mirror of our hearts is full of dust. Just clean off the dust and then you can see the truth. The soul has the natural capacity to be Krishna conscious. But in a contaminated state, we cannot do it properly. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadash Adi Shuddha Chitte Koreye Udai. Love of Krishna is natural. It already is there in everybody's heart. You don't have to buy it from anybody. You don't have to have it implanted by some surgical procedure. It's in your heart already. But it has to be reawakened, that's all, by practice of hearing and chanting and other processes of devotional service. To clean off the dust on the mirror of the heart and reawaken our Krishna consciousness, which is always there, it always has been there. So Kapiladeva describes that by taking this elixir, this rasayanam, tonic, of Krishna Katha, applying it through the ear and letting it go to the heart. Then tadjoshanad ashu apavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. By very quickly we pass through the stages of devotional service as we become more and more purified, especially by taking advantage of the opportunities to hear and chant about Krishna. We develop first shraddha, faith, defined by Krishnadas Kaviraj as being convinced that if I work for Krishna, everything I need and everything I want will be supplied. I don't need to direct my efforts, my labor, for anyone else's service but Krishna. If I serve Krishna, then everyone will be satisfied. Even my family, even my country. The whole world will be satisfied if I give everything to Krishna. That is faith, conviction, confidence. Shraddha ratir. And when one is strong in such conviction, such confidence of the potency and the effectiveness of Krishna consciousness, then he gradually progresses to the next stage of beginning to actually become attracted to Krishna. Now our attraction is very weak. We're attracted to living a pious life and being free from sins. You know, we like being in the mode of goodness. We like the association of devotees. We like prasadam. We like coming to the temples. But how much pure attraction to Krishna do we have? That we only gradually develop as we become very purified. Spontaneous attraction to Krishna is not anything of this world. Remembering Krishna is not something that's done by the mind. It's done in the pure heart. It's not a mental exercise. Because we're attracted, we're still interested in our material problems and our material ambitions. Therefore, we don't give enough attention to Krishna. We have to promise to chant 16 rounds a day because we're not spontaneously attracted to just chant all the time, 24 hours a day. If we were actually chanting 24 hours a day, sleeping and waking, we wouldn't have to count 16 rounds. We'd be counting hundreds, we'd be chanting hundreds of rounds without counting them. But we have to promise, we have to take a vow to do the minimum because we don't have a taste for it yet. Gradually that taste will develop and we will not be able to help but think of Krishna and glorify Krishna constantly. And then that gradually develops into pure love, bhakti. That's the path that we're on. And there, when we enter the realm of bhakti, then again there are more and more levels of perfection to achieve. We can read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, of Srila Rupa Goswami. It describes all the different levels of achievement in devotional service. It even has to stretch the language and say that Krishna consciousness is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. In English, you're not supposed to be able to say that. Perfect is an absolute word. Many grammarians will tell you that to say more perfect is a misuse of the English word. You're not allowed to say that, more perfect. If you're perfect, there's no more perfect. But to describe the advancement in bhakti, you have to say perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. What devotees experience in Dwarka is perfect. What they experience in Mathura is more perfect. And what only the devotees in Vrindavan, Goloka, experience is the most perfect level of devotional service. And then, even in that realm of the most perfect devotional service, there are different rasas, each one better than the next, culminating in the Madhurya rasa, experienced only by the gopis of Vrindavan. So these are all the different levels of perfection. According to our... Gordon, don't play with it. Termites. According to our individual potential, not everybody is a gopi, but everybody has their own eternal relationship with Krishna. We're working to gradually realize that. That should be the aim of our life. not just liberation, not just becoming comfortable and secure, but actually getting love of God and realizing our own full potential. That's real self-realization. Only one out of a million people have interest in that, somehow or other, by Prabhupada's undeserved mercy. This ambition has been implanted in our hearts, and here we are, you know, following Prabhupada's instructions and hearing his advice on how to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Why we, out of millions of people, are interested in this, this is just causeless mercy. But we should be very appreciative, we should be very, very thankful that this seed of transcendental desire has been planted in our hearts by the mercy of Prabhupada and his predecessors, the pure devotees. So let's just try to cultivate it, keep on watering the creeper of our devotion, and make sure that whatever weeds are growing up and threatening it, that we hunt down these weeds and pull them out. Whatever offenses we're committing, whatever material attachments we're stubbornly refusing to give up, we have to work in uprooting them. And then our success is guaranteed. Okay, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes?
You mentioned in the course of your class that one should take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, meaning before sampradayas.
Yes? Four Vaishnava Sampradayas are mentioned and briefly described in the Padma Purana. These are authorized representatives of the science of devotional service to Vishnu. They're eternal. They're always existing in the material world in all ages. But sometimes the line of succession is broken and has to be revived in the different sampradayas. The original four sampradayas are founded by Lord Brahma, that's our sampradaya, by Lakshmi, that is the Sri sampradaya, by the four Kumaras, and by Lord Shiva, four different sampradayas. But all four of those sampradayas in the Kali Yuga becomes disrupted and has to be revived. So there are special acharyas, founder acharyas, who reestablish each of the four sampradayas in Kali Yuga. I think all four of them appear in South India. The first of the four was probably Ramanujacharya, who revived, the Sri Sampradaya didn't need to be revived. The Alwars were there, and the tradition was intact. But Ramanujacharya wrote the commentary on Vedanta Sutra that systematized their philosophy and gave a boost to the Sri Sampradaya. So he's considered the founder acharya for the Sri Sampradaya in Kali Yuga. Madhvacharya revived the Brahma Sampradaya, which had become influenced by Mayavad ideas. He purified it from all Mayavad misconception. We're officially connected with that Madhva Sampradaya, coming originally from Lord Brahma. The Sampradaya of the Four Kumaras was revived by Nimbarka Acharya, and Vishnu Swami revived Lord Shiva's Sampradaya. So these four are going on even into the modern times. One can enter into Krishna's service by taking initiation. One can begin to properly serve the Supreme Lord by taking Vaishnava initiation, receiving the Vaishnava mantra from a guru in any of these four sampradayas, according to Padma Purana. Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishpalamata. But if you fail to get a mantra properly through one of these four sampradayas, then your mantra will not bear any good fruit. Mantraste nishpalabhata. You may receive the mantra from a book or from some unauthorized source, but then it won't have its effect. It must be received through the bona fide, authorized sampradaya, parampara. Okay. Anything else?
Yes, so you mentioned that Shraddha, our faith, is a conviction that, and that conviction in Krishna that everybody will be satisfied. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
I said that. Okay, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I said that if you work for Krishna,
yeah,
then everything you want and need will be provided.
Yeah, okay, just like abbreviated.
Yes.
So, but what if we see that those people who are around us, they are not satisfied?
Okay.
So does that mean that our conviction is weak or
no. To save yourself is easier than saving others. First save yourself. Then when you become very strong in Krishna consciousness, you'll have the potency to deliver everyone else. We can try to give the message of Krishna to other unfortunate people, but it's not our potency. We shouldn't think that by my potency I'm preaching. If a person becomes proud of his own potency to preach, especially if he's not a Paramahamsa, then he's going to actually get in trouble. He's going to become offensive and proud. We should think humbly that I may be allowed to preach, but it's not my strength that's accomplishing the preaching. It's the strength of my spiritual master and of the Sampradaya, the Parampara. Because you have to have very special potency to be able to change another person's life. Srila Prabhupada was especially empowered to change many people's lives. And he empowered his disciples to assist him in his preaching work. But we're just assistants. It's not our power. It's Prabhupada's power that's accomplishing all this. We should think like that. So, don't expect that when you've just established basic faith, that you're accepting theoretically that you're a Krishna's servant, and you're starting to try to give your life over to Krishna, that you're going to have the potency on your own to save the world. What we can do is assist Prabhupada and his predecessors in their mission. We're just trying to help. We have no power of our own. Okay. So we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jaya.